hate being that guy, but we always get the, you know, we always get the questions afterwards. Yeah, that's right. So Vayaris ha'agolos asher shalach Yosef losei soisa. Yaakov saw the wagons that Yosef sent to carry him. Wow, did it have a huge effect? Vatechi ruach Yaakov aviyem. The spirit of Yaakov came alive. What an unbelievable thing. These agolis triggered something. So Chazal tell us, we're familiar with what Chazal say, that when Yaakov saw the agolis that Yosef sent, he recalled, he realized that Yosef was hinting to him the sugya that they had been learning before Yosef left his father's house. And when he saw that Yosef HaTzadik was still holding in the sugya that they learned then, he saw that Yosef was still true to the Mesorah that he received from Yaakov Avinu. And what greater chiyus is there, especially because we know that Yaakov Avinu felt like he lost his chiyus when he felt like he lost Yosef. So when he saw that Yosef is still loyal, so the Rashi says, and this is what many of us grew up with, that the sugya, what was the sugya? Does anyone know? Egg la rufa. That's what most people, what does egg la rufa have to do with wagons? Because it's a similar word. Because an egla is not a wagon. Right? An egla is not a wagon. What?
It carries something.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. But so the.
That was nice.
It's cute. It's close.
So the Das Kenim Ibalei HaTosfos says that the Agolos is something else. Take a look at it. The Das Kenim Ibalei HaTosfos says, Egla, Agolos, no. He says that it's referring to the Sugya of the wagons that the Nesiim donated for the Mishkan to carry the Krushim. Those of you that learned Masechet Shabbos know that they were very specially designed wagons to carry the Krushim. Those wagons were a donation of the prince of each Shevet. The Nesiim donated the wagons. And when Yaakov Avinu saw wagons, he realized that they had been learning the sugya of those wagons. I don't know, that they're less than 10 tefachim tall. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what the sugya was. Maybe we'll talk about that. And when he saw the wagons, he remembered the sugya of the agolos of the Nesiim. Take a look at the Daskenim, the agolos of the Nesiim, and Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviyim. So I'd like to share with you why that's such an impressive sugya, why that was the last sugya that Yaakov and Yosef learned, why that has anything to do with Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim, and why it has to do with the accomplishment that I think that we could have here in Chutz La'aretz, in the jungles of Chutz La'aretz, that we can't even have Be'eretz HaKodesh. So the Nesiim. The Nesiim donated the wagons very, very enthusiastically. Do you know why?
Because they were sold the first time. So they
That's exactly right. Because the Nesiim were slow the first time. The first time in Parshas Truma, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, you know, bring Isha Shayudvenu Liboy, that each person should donate to the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael donated and donated and donated, and the Nesiim said, we'll see what happens in the end. We'll see what's left. And by the time it came to the end, there was almost nothing left. So when it came the second time around and it came time to donate something, so the Nesiim did not wait, and they jumped on immediately and they donated wagons. They did not wait to see if anyone else gives it. None of that. They jumped right in and they donated the wagons. So I want to talk a little bit about that, and you'll see why this is so relevant here. The Nesiim were lazy, Nima, right? That's what it says. It says that they were lazy. The Lashon of Rashi is that they were lazy. They were atzlanim. They lost something because of that. They lost something that it's such a unbelievable, catastrophic loss that we don't even begin to understand it. You know what they lost? They lost a yud. That's right. This guy. They lost the yud when it says that the Nesi'im, you know what they ended up donating for the Mishkan before the wagons? They donated the stones. The Nesi'im heviu es avnei hashayam v'es avnei ha'efa avnei hashayam avnei miluim lo'efa v'lachayshet. Right? So the Nesi'im donated the stones, and when it says v'anesi'im heviu, it says Nesi'im without a yud. Nesi'im usually is with a yud, and it says Nesi'im without a yud. So Rashi says, you see from here that they will chaser ois b'shmai. We don't even understand what the tragedy is of having a yud missing in their name. But there was a yud missing, tragic, and when the way the Torah records the Nesi'im is chaser, as if they're missing something, because they were missing the enthusiasm for the mitzvah, and they ended up donating the Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Miluim. In the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik from Reb Tzadik HaKoyen Melublin, he says just an unbelievable ha'ara, and very short, he says an unbelievable ha'ara. He says, do you know, where did they get the stones from? Anyone know where'd they get the stones from? No. They got the stones. Clouds, Rashi says that clouds, it could be it was in the mud, I don't know, but clouds brought them the Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Miluim. It came b'derech nes in the clouds. How do Chazal know that dramatic story? Because the word Nesi'im means clouds. Nesi'im are clouds. Besides their meaning princes in Pesuka de Zimra, Nesi'im are clouds, because they carry, they float up. So Nesi'im are clouds. So the pasuk says that Nesi'im heviu means that the Nesi'im, the people called Nesi'im, brought it, but it means the clouds brought it to the Nesi'im. So Reb Tzadik says, one second. I don't understand what's going on here. Are you mean to tell me that the only people whose donation to the Mishkan came about through a unbelievable nace were the ones who were lazy? Does that make any sense? And we learn it from the same word. The same word that means that the Nesi'im were lazy, va'anesi'im, spelled chaser yud, is also the word that we learn out clouds from. Does that make any sense? They were lazy. Failure. Chisaron, missing a yud, tragedy, catastrophe. And from that pasuk, nisim, hashgacha, special nes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does that make sense? Is that what happens when we're lazy to do mitzvahs? We get a special hashgacha from Hashem? Says Reb Tzadik, yes. Says Reb Tzadik that when a person has a challenge in their avodas Hashem, whatever that struggle or challenge may be, and they work very hard and they feel terrible about it, and it holds them back, and they feel like they feel the pain of that minia, of that being held back, they feel it so painfully, so they pour their energy and their tefillos and their yearning into that area ends up being much more profoundly holy and special than something that came much easier. So he says, yes, the Nesi'im had a struggle. Whatever Nima, whatever that laziness is, which is hard to imagine, right? But whatever that laziness is represents some kind of struggle that they had. Whatever that struggle was, it killed them. When they realized there wasn't going to be anything for them to donate, and they were so hurting from it. And they davened, and they did tshuva, and they worked on themselves, and they made a mussar sefer, seder, and they struggled with it to the point that it exploded into it, that they were zeicha to a nes in what they brought. V'hanesiyim heviu, v'hanesiyim heviu. And Reb Tzadik goes so far as to say that nesiyim means clouds. He says that's what a cloud is. He says it's a beautiful sunny day. It's amazing, beautiful, right? And then it gets cloudy. We're all sad. Right? We're all down. It's a cloudy day. He says, but that's what brings chayim la'olam. Not for the cloudy days, we would all die. Right? Not for the cloudy days, it wouldn't rain. And if it wouldn't rain, nothing would grow. And if nothing grows, we wouldn't be able to live. See, he says, sometimes the source of our life is the cloudy day. It's interesting. When the sun gets blocked by clouds, and we would naturally think to ourselves that, you know, this is a tough one. We really should be dancing in the clouds, because this is really where our life comes from, when there's Geshem. And this, Rabbi say, is what was going on when Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. Going down to Mitzrayim was leaving Eretz Yisrael. It was leaving the special Hashgacha of Eretz Yisrael. It was leaving the Avira de Eretz Yisrael, Machkim, the unbelievable segulos of being in Eretz Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael was going down to Mitzrayim, and they weren't just going down to go to school. They were going down to Mitzrayim to become avodim, to be challenged like no one's ever been challenged before, to be threatened by the most tummy country in the world, and they were almost driven to destruction, as we know. And Klal Yisrael had a fight ahead of them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov Avinu to know that the nation that comes out of Mitzrayim is going to be more powerful and more capable of serving Hashem than the nation that went down to Mitzrayim. And that's in the Nevuah, by the way. If you look in the Nevuah, when Yaakov is on his way down to Mitzrayim, the Rabbeinu Shalom appears to him, and the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Anoichi, unbelievable words, Anoichi Ered Imcha Mitzrayimah. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, Hashem says. The Anoichi A'alcha, and I will bring you back up. Gam Oloi, also up. What does that mean? Anoichi A'alcha, I'll bring you up. Take a look at the Sfarno on that pasuk. The Sfarno says, I will take you up to greater heights than you were on before. Unbelievable. That's the goal. You're going down into Gullus. It's not just, okay, this is a downtime. You're going down to Gullus to build your muscles, to struggle with growth, to become a nation, and to be able, Alcha, I'm going to bring you up. That would be back to where we started. Gam Allah, even much higher. That's the result of going down to Mitzrayim. So now, is that not amazing? Now Yaakov Avinu is standing there and he's contemplating taking 70 souls down to Mitzrayim, of all places, down to Mitzrayim. They like, Mitzrayim is like the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. And he's looking for a sign that it's going to be an ultimate aliyah. So what happens, Nima? He Yosef HaTzadik sends him the result of the steiging of the Nesiyim. What was the result of the steiging of the Nesiyim? That the next time the Nisayan came, the next time it was time to donate, before Klal Yisrael had a chance to think about it, the Nesiyim had already donated wagons. That's the parsha of the Nesiyim. That's the Gam Olay. They weren't medium when it came to giving the Nesiyim. No, they were first. They were the highest. They were the greatest. They went from being the most challenged to being the greatest. That not incredible? That's what happened when they went down to Mitzrayim, and that was the simen. So that's what I want to share with you. And I'm not saying this for any kind of chanifa at all. Okay, I'm just sharing with you what I feel like when I walk around this building, that guys go to Eretz Yisrael. Some of you are recently back from Eretz Yisrael. Some of you have been back already for a few years. But guys go to Eretz Yisrael, and when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it feels, at least at times, especially after you're there for a little while, it feels like the sky is the limit. And you could feel the growth. And there's nothing. It's you and Hashem and His Torah. That's all it is. It's unbelievable. And then you come back to America, And it's you and Hashem and His Torah and biology and math and psychology and home and family and America and technology and all the other stuff that follows us around when we're sitting here. And then guys like you struggle to come to Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, to first Seder, to night Seder, and many of you to second Seder, to come to a Mishmar on Thursday night, to come to Seder and to Shir on Sunday, to come on Shabbos, to have Sdorim, to be Mavr Sedra, to learn Halacha, to learn Machshava or Chassidus or whatever will keep your engines going. You are the Nesiim. You're the Nesiim, and that is an accomplishment that you couldn't possibly have in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. But it's coming to a place where there's going to be a challenge, where it's not going to be natural and it's not going to be easy, especially this time of the Zman. I didn't go through this. I didn't do school after high school. And I watch guys coming into Shir and learning and trying, and even the text messages that I get from guys that didn't make it to Shir is incredible, trying to keep in touch with the Rebbe and trying to make it work and trying to continue to stay on the path of growth and Avodah. That is building muscles in Avodas Hashem that you could not possibly have built had you stayed for a third year or a fourth year or a fifth year in Eretz Yisrael, because you would not have been challenged in the same way. And the growth in Avodah that you have from this is gonna catapult you. And when you get married, and when you're sitting down and you're being mefarnes a family, and your baby's waking you up in the middle of the night, and your wife needs you to do some shopping, and all of that, and you still feel the push that you have to do your learning, and you have to do your davening, and you have to stay connected to chaverim and to rabbeim. When that's going on, you'll know that you learned those skills from being challenged and lifting those weights anyway. And I think that it's very important, very, very, very important as you might think it is, to end this part of the Zman and to think about what you could do better the next Zman. It's much more important that you end this Zman and you acknowledge to yourself the growth of this Zman. And you acknowledge the push and the rutzain and the days that you were here and the days that you were here tired and the days that you were here not feeling well and the days that you were here and it was cold or rainy, the days that you were here that you were like, should I, and then you pushed yourself. All of that should go into the cheshbon, and it should be, even though I know, like, ending the Zman on finals, I wish we could do something about that, you know? I wish we could have like another 2 days of yeshiva and then a break, you know, just like normal. And then, you know, it's just not the way the Seder goes. But you should please think back from the beginning of the Zman until now. Think back to the tefillos, the sedarim, the chavrusos, the friends, the rabbeim, the shiurim, the shmuzin, the kiddushes. Think back to each part of it that you were able to participate in, and be makir toiv to yourself. And tell yourself, good job, because that's an important, important piece of the growth of the Al Chagam Oloi that you had here that you couldn't have anywhere else. I hope that Mashiach comes very, very soon, and that we all go back to Eretz Yisrael, and that we learn Torah for the rest of our lives. And it'll be like, could you imagine? You know, we'll have major second Seder Chavrusa Tumul here, because we have to start a whole new second Seder. It'll be amazing, amazing. And every single guy that went through what this yeshiva asks you to do over a Zman, every single guy will be a more powerful Talmud Chacham because of it, because you built yourself in that way. So Mirtz Hashem, it should be a schus for all of you. You should be matzliach with your finals. This is not an end of the Zman thing. The Zman still continues for a little while. But this is just, we've done a lot of mishmars together and we're heading into finals. So I wanted to mention it. And you should have hatzlacha, and you should have an amazing break. Keep in touch. Do me a favor. You will not regret it. Keep in touch with your rabbeim over the break. Send some rabbeim are very annoying and they still give shir during the break. You ever heard of such a thing? But But keep in touch. Send your Rebbe a text. Send him a good Shabbos text. Show up at his house. Send him flowers. I don't care how. But keep in touch. Keep in touch with your Rebbe. No. Nafshi chamda, chamda mitzeh.